Victor Boot, elected official in Russia, high-level businessman, former political prisoner in the U.S., military expert, kind of an Eric Prince Russian-type counterpart. He is going to be joining us. There he is on screen right now, getting ready. So we look forward to that here. Be sure and remember, whatever AM and FM stations you're listening to us on, to tell everybody how to tune in. And if you're listening on the internet, tell everybody how you're tuning in and share it. That's how we reach new people. Now, we saw the Southern Poverty Law Center at the heart of the deep state indicted for running all the major white supremacist groups in the country to create division and set up a police state. Told you that decades ago. It's confirmed. We also have seen Fauci's head advisor covering up gain of function in the U.S. government under Obama creating COVID-19, indicted for hiding that, destroying evidence. Now, Leering Center, remember that? The Somali fraudsters, they all just got raided and indictments coming in today. This just now broke. So, massive developments, and I just call balls and strikes. I see a lot of terrible activity from Trump, a lot of promises broken with the Iran war, other things, but I'm also seeing now suddenly real movement. And I told you weeks ago when Patel came out and said, no, we're about to have real indictments from my sources, Trump has told them all, you're fired if you don't do this. Well, who Trump needs to fire is the neocon advisors around him and Netanyahu coming in and lying to him and saying Iran will fall in 4 days. Now the UAE has left OPEC. Now they're saying 4 months till Iran falls because they're out of money. Trump is being lied to. And and they're just roping us in to a deeper war. Just like you saw the Delta Force commander explain how NATO knew all along that Ukraine was going to lose and that it was simply a way for the EU to distract from its own criminal activity, it's unelected, and have a higher tax rate instead of a police state domestically. And then they delusionally think within 20 years Russia will fall and then that they'll divide Russia in five parts. That's the official unelected EU board's policy. Now, they have a parliament, as you know, but that's ceremonial. So we're going to look at Ukraine. We're going to look at what happened in Hungary. We're going to be looking at what's happening in Romania. We're going to be looking at what NATO's up to. We're going to be looking at the Iran situation with the top geopolitical expert on this who's worked in all the major continents of the world for decades, about what he believes is going to come next. It's great that every Tuesday, the last few weeks, been able to get him on with us. This will be the last time Victor Boot is on with us as InfoWars. But the InfoWar continues on, but just the InfoWars.com. We are shutting down Thursday night. They're cutting the power. Have private detectives come in to lock it up. Even though there's no court ruling yet, we got a bunch of injunctions, and who knows. But it's not been cry wolf. This has been going on. We've just survived so many attacks. But remember, Trump let the DOJ do this. Trump killed the investigation into this. And so that just is, a black eye for what they're up to. Let's go to break with the raid on the Somalis today.
Now, large-scale raids targeting federal fraud currently underway. Federal agents seen leaving the Quality Learning Center. And Brooke Taylor has more on that and what they're looking for. Brooke, good morning.
Hi, Bill. Good morning. Yeah, we have had a photographer there at the daycare since this morning, capturing video of those federal agents just going in and out of the building, collecting evidence as part of the DOJ's fraud investigation in Minnesota. Take a look at this video here. Sources tell Fox that federal agents are raiding about 22 businesses across Minneapolis this morning. And sources say many of them are tied to Somali-owned operations. All of this comes after that viral YouTube video from Nick Shirley. It was back in December. In that video, he visited different child care centers. And you'll remember they were either closed or there were just no children inside, despite receiving state child care funding. Now, the location that you're looking at right now, it's the Quality Learning Center. This is the daycare. It went viral. It blew up on social media because of a sign outside with learning.
All right, we'll be right back. We'll have more on this as it develops. Victor Boot is going to be our guest when we join all these stations in 60 seconds. Stay with us. I'm holding in my hands two compounds that are guaranteed to change your life. T3, pure atomic iodine. Nobody else has it. It's next level. And ultramethylene blue, medical grade methylene blue. These two products together supercharge the mitochondria of the cells, clean out the body, and are game changers. Iodine is essential, meaning you die without it. The UN admits that most people that have cognitive disabilities is because of lack of iodine. You add ultramethylene blue to this, it supercharges everything. Ladies and gentlemen, T3 is now available. DalexinStore.com, the very best iodine that we know of that exists. There may be better. We'll adopt that if we can. But this is the best for sale we found, and we have the best medical grade ultramethylene blue. Get yours now, right now. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off. It funds the InfoWar. But more importantly, it is a game changer. If you don't take my advice and try this, you're insane. All you got to do is try it. You'll be blown away. Take action now. DalexinStore.com to get T3, now available, and methylene blue at DalexinStore.com.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones.
Guest for the next 45 minutes or so. Then the great Mark Dice is going to be joining us, a longtime InfoWars colleague going back over 25 years here in the twilight of the original InfoWars. But this is not a victory for the bad guys. This is a defeat. They, according to court records, have spent $300+ million. The top Democrat law firm, Paul Weiss, at the direction of Obama, that's been declassified, trying to find a way to put me in prison since 2013, all part of a CIA-DOJ joint operation, partially declassified, admitted to in court, and Trump allowed his attorney general to kill the investigation by the weaponization task force leader, Ed Martin, 6 months ago. Just another sign. But they're raiding the Somalis today. They've indicted one of the main COVID bioweapon creator conspirators, David M. Marins today. They're very close to indicting Fauci, I'm told. Well, you also saw the Southern Poverty Law Center indicted for running white supremacist groups. So hopefully we see some course change from Trump. Because now the UAE has left OPEC. This is such a huge development. Also, conscription has gone to new heights in Ukraine as internal poll numbers. Up to 85% of the public are against it. But they're put into this at gunpoint, really just to be targets to draw out Russian forces and as literal cannon fodder. The old saying was the infantry is to be fed to cannons, meaning food, fodder is food, like horse fodder. Well, they are feeding the Ukrainians into the Russian guns, just fighting the last Ukrainian. And we're 4+ years into this, and it's just spectacularly evil. We have all of that to go over. Marco Rubio says, well, we don't have any leadership that will work with us. There's only radicals left. That's an actual quote. What did he think was going to happen when he killed their leadership? Do you think they were going to put cream puffs in? Like they've been trying to kill Putin. Every expert agrees. They'll get somebody even more hardline. It's madness. Oh, all we have is apocalyptic hardliners now. They'll never give up. Oh, that's why you killed their leaders? Israel told Trump to do that, though. They admit Israel did. Israel said they'd fall in 4 days. They knew that wasn't the case. So what is Israel really doing and how do we counter this? So we can go into the OPEC issue, Iran, that first. We can get into the latest in Ukraine. Orban being, you know, kicked out, obviously, by a NATO operation, where you see that going as things move so quickly. Victor Boot, again, if you just joined us, is a former political prisoner here in the U.S. for 10 years, a major businessman, elected official at a regional level in Russia, and, of course, very famously a Russian, we came around before even Eric Prince, but a Russian Eric Prince is a good way to describe him. People don't know who he is. But very hard to get him on any show. He comes on this broadcast because when he was incarcerated in federal prison for 10 years, he listened to me on AM radio. So I guess you could say we're old friends just from sharing ideas on air the last few years, but also back then. He certainly knows the show. So, Victor, that's a long intro as usual. Those are my topics. You can go anywhere else you want first. Where would you like to start? Victor, where would you like to start? Oh, I didn't think he could sit there that still, guys. His Zoom link died. So let's reconnect. Like, man, that guy can sit there even stiller than Clint Eastwood in the movie. But as soon as we get that unfrozen, we'll get him back up. You know, at the end of the last hour, I played former Delta Force commander breaking down what a total and complete disaster the Ukraine situation is, but that NATO knew this was the case, and it's literally to destabilize not just Russia, but Europe, and push the public deeper into debt. That's why Larry Fink is so incredibly excited right now about this war, because he openly says, oh, this will, you know, create the great reset we want. They want people publicly poor. That is the plan. And people have to get their heads around this. Kiev attacks on Russian refinery, cutting global oil supply. Kremlin, yeah. And they've even been attacking other countries' pipelines that ship Russian oil through it, which, again, is only going to intensify the global energy shock. But when you're the big central banks that have all this fiat currency to loan out, you want people in a bad position. So while we're working on getting Victor on the broadcast, I wanted to remind listeners that while we sit here and watch all of this tyranny unfold, the Great Awakening is here politically, not just here, but around the world. So no matter what the globalists do, things are only going to get worse for them. We're in a fourth turning. It's a time of Great Awakening. These are societal trends that are rules, not just things that tend to happen. And so the globalists know that they're in a time of great resistance. They're going to throw wars at us, new viruses, societal fights, race division. So the Southern Poverty Law Center has been caught doing what they do, running the white supremacy groups. But at the end of the day, the whole thing is falling apart. All right, we've got Victor back with us. I think you heard most of my question via Zoom link from Russia. Victor, where would you like to start first? Ukraine, it's all interconnected. Iran, the OPEC falling apart. Maybe Trump and what you think about the Saturday event. Some people think that was staged, the attempted killing there with incredibly low security. Thank you, Victor Boot, for being here with us.
Hello, hello, and greetings from Russia. So all these questions are basically has one common baseline. They're all interconnected. And the question is, they all connected with this, globalist cabal who basically behind every crisis, behind every, you know, armed conflict in the world. And it's a lot of the things happening. And this eventually also their plan before they put up this great reset, you know, or establish the global control. You know, they want to completely confuse us, create a situation which everybody gave up to understand what's going on. Confusion is one of their, you know, arms. So let's go and, you know, dissect, do the autopsy of really what's going on, because without very careful, you know, and little bit distance look on what's happened, without emotional too much involvement, only then we'll be able to understand the core issue, what's really going on this time. Let's start with the Ukraine. So Ukrainians understood that there is the two possible ways for Zelensky from this situation. He has a, little victory because the Orban government is gone. New government of the Magyar approved their, you know, credit to Ukraine of 90 billion euro in exchange that Ukraine will open the oil pipeline to Hungary. So this is his small victory. His eventually strategic plan is just to wait till the midterm election in November when the Trump become a lame duck, and eventually this will help him then to just, Trump would be are more or less restrained, and then the European and the globalist will take control over financing of Ukraine, and he will again keep making money, keep doing a laundering operation for the globalists. And of course, as you mentioned, send his own people to the war to be killed, to be used as a cannon meat, because finally, you know, figures we see, this was exact what's going on in all Ukrainian city. The government has no any other way to recruit the people, just to basically catch them on the streets, put them in the bus. It's called busification in Ukraine. And it's a strategy for the nation, because they're not checking their papers. They're not asking whether they're doctors or doing some critical jobs. So this attitude of the Ukrainian regime just showed that they don't care about own population. In many cities, they're just grabbing, for instance, bus drivers, or even, you know, there was a case where the doctor went to smoke after operation on the emergency room. He was grabbed by these people, sent to this mobilization, and only with the tremendous efforts of this medical personnel, they explained him that he is actually operating doctor. What are you doing? There would be nobody left. But for them, since this is a completely globalist project, they don't care. For them, war till the last Ukrainian is the only thing can possibly happen. So right now, Russian army is still moving, you know, forward, despite, the old difficulties, because now new war is completely different from what anybody used to understand. It's a gray kill zone, roughly around 30 kilometers between two warring sides. There is very few cases when you come into traditional, you know, old situation of tactics. Now, everything changing every 2 weeks. Now, Ukrainian deciding that on the summertime, they're preparing this counter-offensive in the southern front, where the three regions of Ukraine, Donetsk region, Zaporozhye region, and Dnepropetrovsk region are meeting. So they're pushing up, concentrating too much forces there, trying to get enough personnel. So they're thinking that they're going to incline into the Russian defense line, you know, and declare again the victory, mainly for the propaganda purpose. And when government do not care about their losses, of course you have a situation where the country basically has no future, because with the population of Ukraine, which before the collapse of Soviet Union was roughly 54 million people, right now, on different estimation, it's roughly between 25 or even 22 million. So think of this. For the past, since declaring independence in 1991, Ukraine just doubled, just halved of their population. This is a basically collapse and depopulation, which we know this is a, accordingly, the globalist playlist, depopulation. Plus, Ukraine basically sold even if it's fertile soil, to BlackRock, another corporation, Cargill, who owns eventually majority of this.
And let me just stop you and back you up. The official plan of Europe is, for not just Ukraine, but all of Europe, replacement migration. So you have a million plus dead, and now they're literally replacing them with uneducated. You're bringing Africans, go like bringing doctors and scientists. No, they're bringing military-age men by the hundreds of thousands with no skills. What are these African? But by the way, they don't get conscripted, though. What does just dumping Africans in Ukraine do? I mean, this is insane.
Well, so far they just tried to bring some African workers to replace a severe shortage of the labor, because anybody, including women, are grabbed to go at the front line and fight Russia, which is completely, you know, disastrous. Ukraine, long time, about like 3 years already decided they're going to lose all their industries, they're going to lose all their, you know, science, they're going to lose everything. And still, there is no way we can, create the condition to explain to this regime, you know, illegal regime, to go and negotiate. Plus, bearing in mind that this all conflict is only possible because of the support, or not even support, this basically proxy war of the all NATO, or all this total coalition of the willing, which is about 50 countries, including United States, who is still keeping a leading role, is a proxy war against Russia, because Ukraine cannot last alone. They don't have resources. Now, think of this. Everything in Ukraine, including pension fund, including salaries, including any public service, whatever left, salaries to officials, salaries to military, is paid only because this foreign aid coming in, which is, if not half, but definitely a big chunk of it, are embezzled, stolen, laundered, whatever you name it. So for the regime, this is a business, and let me tell you, it's very profitable business. So Zelensky succeeded to corrupt not only European leaders who are showing to Kiev with this, victory lap, telling, oh, we visited Ukraine, who resisting, who fighting, and we know perfectly well this visit was paid with a very lavishly, kind of honorarium for visiting the Ukraine, or in other case, Zelensky providing hookers, providing drugs. So he is trying to play role of the small Epstein, trying to corrupt elite through his own way. We know from the Epstein files very well that Zelensky was mentioned there as a provider, human trafficker, who provided to Epstein underage girls. So what we're talking about? So he is from get-go, the project of the globalist. And that's why his behavior is completely clear that he is not for the interest of his own country, not for the some settlement and development. He's just there to do what his masters told him to do. That's the issue. So what is the future? Well, future is very grim for Ukraine. I think there is would be, after the conflict is over, not such country as Ukraine. We need to clean this last, stronghold of the Nazism. And eventually, this is also a flashing point where we know, in fact, that the Europe are still deep inside a dreaming of this complete control, complete dictatorship, complete, Nazism. Because for Europe, I think this is only natural way where they can expand, when they can, enslave or conquer neighboring countries.
Well, they've had the deputy head of the commission say, we're bankrupt unless we can collapse Russia and divide it in pieces. That's not going to happen without a nuclear war. That's insane.
No, it's not happening. And look, we are under all possible sanction. Against Russia, there is over 29,000 sanctions issued. We are most sanctioned country in the history of this planet. And we're still functioning. Everything works. Our economy, despite having a certain, slowdown because of policies of our central bank. Otherwise, we've been doing perfectly well. So for us, this sanction, was a good opportunity to cut off ourselves from the complete this Western domination, from this opening to the Western markets. At least a local producer was able to start the production. And if, and I'm sure that government going to sort it out, the situation which we have now with the slowdown, because they tried to keep inflation intact. But
let's talk timelines here. I know you don't have a crystal ball, but in general, sure, they want to have another one of their failed offensives that they declare as a victory. They just push in a mile, later get kicked out. The media won't cover it. Probably launch more deep sneak attacks or stuff like Operation Spiderweb. But midterm, how long is this going to go on as this war just kind of settles in and the media becomes a back burner, but Russia continues to slowly move forward and burn up all of the NATO forces? What are the different scenarios here?
Well, there is several scenarios. First of all, look, Ukrainians definitely would be used like, a meat for this, cannon meat for this war until the last Ukrainians. When the Ukrainians is over, they have, Polacks, they have Romanians, they're going to throw them out. Then they're going to use Baltics, to see, because globalists don't care. Then the time will come for the, like a Germany. And Germany now trying to prepare its own nation for the fight. They're talking about inscription. They're talking, you know, forceful, so everybody, obligatory military service. They're talking about increasing their military spending, like several folds. And for them, again, you know, they start remembering what their, you know, grandfather was doing while serving in, you know, SS troops at the Wehrmacht, you know. So this is a renaissance of the neo-Nazism in Europe. And it's, believe me, will not end up very well. And everything, as if we go to the root of this, we know perfectly well that even Hitler himself was a project of the globalist, because he was in very close tie with the British intelligence. Eventually, he was recruited by the British intelligence, and he was used again, like Ukraine was used now, as a tool in the hands of the globalist. So, unfortunately, Ukrainian leadership.
By the way, slow down the Hitler thing, because that's in the mainline histories, Pulitzer Prize winning books, but the general public doesn't know that. That's why the deputy Fuhrer parachuted in with a treaty saying, you're not supposed to fight us in France. We have a deal. The King of England was a Nazi. He was actually German. Hitler thought he had a deal. Then, of course, Churchill, they removed Chamberlain and double-crossed him. It's just, that's actually mainline history, but almost no one knows that, that Germany was set up as a detonator to blow up Europe and Russia. And they intended to get Russia in the process, but they didn't. And so exactly, Ukraine is just 2.0 of that. That's why Hitler had the plan, because the British gave it to him, of the EU, 10 nations, unelected, with the king, Edward VIII, was supposed to be the head of the EU. All of that came out of Hitler and British intelligence. People don't know that. So spend some time on that.
Correct. Look, if we know from the history, from the latest disclosed, you know, files that before Hitler attack in the June 22nd of 1941, actually the France and Britain was ready to start attacking Russia and bombed, you know, and this plan was revealed. So think of this. So in all this play, trying to blame that actually Stalin started the war, he signed a separate deal with Hitler, then themselves tried to attack. So the Russia did only one thing correct, you know, on this one, is going and fight actually for the entire humanity with the Nazism. Think of this. If Soviet Union, with all efforts, with the heroic efforts of every family who living in this territory, in this country, whether it's Russian, whether it's Ukrainian, whether it's a Belarusian, lost somebody in this war with the Nazis from 1941 till the 1945. And now we're having like almost, you know, flashback where, you know, again, the British playing their own game with the globalists. We know that after the war, Churchill was entertaining the so-called unthinkable plan, you know, again, pushing Americans, let's go and attack Russia immediately. You have several, you know, nuclear bombs. Let's bomb them to oblivion and capture the whatever, you know, territory resources they have. So if we're talking on this, the globalists playing on very long time, they are perfectly aware that they need to get their plan.
Stay there. Let's come back and finish up. This is absolutely historic if people don't know it. Basically, World War II never ended. And now there was a halftime until 5 years ago, and now we're in the third and fourth quarter. We'll be right back with Victor Boot. Stay with us. You can't make this up. The great folks at Bigly, our main sponsor, they fund like 90% of the operation. They give away an amazing American-made vehicle, super truck, you name it, every month. And there's a crossover period at the end of each month where you have the old offer and the new offer for 1 week together, where when you buy any product at thealexwar.com, you get put in to win both. And in that last week, it's always, was 50X entries, 100 times. And most people that win do it during this period. I think basically everybody. And so you get the Ford Raptor Custom H1 Hummer. These are incredible. Plus $20,000 cash. You can win one or both for each dollar spent, 100K entries in the sweepstakes. Also, flash offer today. These sales are totally insane. We're giving you $10 free just to check out. Automatic $10 comes off on anything at thealexjonesstore.com. It could be bovine colostrum, could be Shilajit, could be methylene blue, methylene red, could be anything. And that offer ends, that runs till Monday. That flash sale runs for 3 days. And then we have the five new modern but updated World War II trench daggers with the skull crushers all murdered out. Brass knuckles, 10-inch, double-edged, razor-sharp, stainless steel. And they made five designs. I only designed one with the Christ as King on one side and the Jerusalem cross on the other. I thought that was not... I said yesterday, I don't think this is the best design. This is my design. These others are so amazing. Well, turns out that most of the sales were that. It's going to sell out today. So my design's the most popular. See, just people ask what my marketing plan is. Whatever I think's cool, it's just weird. I didn't even say this is the cool one. Get it. The audience is just like me. Oh, we want that. It's like, that's what I like is what I promote. And you seem to like it too. So that's just how it works. So we just launched five new trench war daggers. I thought they would probably sell out in a few days. They are. They'll be sold out by Monday. You are the InfoWar, Molon Labe, Liberty or Death, Don't Tread on Me, and Christ is King with the Jerusalem cross. But I think that'll be gone. But these are limited edition. Well, they told me they had 1,000 of each knife. They have like 700 of each knife. So they will only produce 300 more of each because it is limited edition. So they're going to... It'll be sold out by Monday. The other 300 will come in of each, and then that's it. Then we'll have new designs. But these are all limited edition as well, laser etched. So you talk about bad. I personally like the Spartan one with the Spartan phalanx and the Molon Labe. Personally, I think that's the coolest art there. But again, my design, Jesus is King, is the best seller. Also, we have other sales going on. April 30th is your last chance to get original InfoWars t-shirts, products with the original logo, all that. There's a limited edition there. By a miracle, we might beat them and take it back, you know, in the near future, but this is probably your last chance. That's all a fundraiser, so thank you so much for your support. But I'm telling you, what you really want to get is the methylene blue and the Irish sea moss and the Shilajit and all that. I mean, it'll just change your life. The iodine's incredible. I mean, folks, we only sell stuff that works. Why would I sell something that doesn't work? The left always, he sells boner pills. What are you even talking about? I mean, yes, technically, if you take our ultimate life force, it's very similar to our nitric boost, but it has even more stuff in it. It's a spike protein detoxer. And yes, for men, it has the effect of some interesting things that, you know, when you wake up in the morning. But that's not the main function. It's for your cardiovascular system. But obviously, if the Johnson's doing good, that shows you the rest of you's doing good. The point is that everybody should take at least two rounds of this a year just for spike protein detox. But what it does for your cardiovascular system is insane. And this is not a bestseller. I'm just up here saying, this is what you want. Heard callers talking about something. I'm like, wow, whoa, ooh.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
So it's not Russian propaganda that the main heart of the Ukrainian force are neo-Nazis and that their grandfathers were Nazis and those same battle lines have been drawn and that the EU set this up to lure Russia in. Because remember, when you're the unelected EU that was actually a Nazi project, and you got the population against you waking up, you need a war to control them. They say that. They say our economy's war. Then I saw Trump 2 weeks ago go, hey, we don't care about Medicare or Medicaid or child daycare anymore. We're about war. That's what we do now. That's a 180. And he hasn't said that with Ukraine yet, but he militarily, he's still been backing it. So if you're unelected scum who weren't even in World War I like Hitler, at least he was a soldier, like the leadership they've got now that are all just the royal families of Europe that just gave up their crowns, but they're the owners of it, in this ancient war to take over Russia, it's like a dog that's been chasing something forever and just really wants it, or a bloodhound has its scent. Wars, these big regional historic wars don't ever really end. They just go into halftime, as I was saying. They say generals always fight the last war. That's because generally it's part of the same war. It's just a continuation of it. So that's why this is so really spiritual at the end of the day and so dangerous. So I want to finish up with his history you were giving out, and it'd be very simple. How does this end? Because if Russia is winning by attrition, but now they're scaling up for a decades-long war, obviously Russia doesn't want to end decades. How does this get shut down? We'd hope Trump would, but he's been compromised. So just finish up with the history, and then what you think scenarios are, or what your advice would be for everybody to end this. And obviously you're right. It's all a continuum of the larger global forces fighting each other, the latest on Iran, Victor Boot.
Well, as you said, scenario how it would be finished. First of all, during the last year Alaska meeting between the Putin and the Trump, this was agreed a certain roadmap, and there was a proper arrangement how to settle it. And Russia was very flexible to, in fact, maximum accommodating and going to really build certain partnership. But for the past time, after this Alaska meeting, unfortunately, American side been not able to deliver on those promises. They said that they're gonna, really tackle the Zelensky regime and, restrain and force them to negotiations to sign a peace deal. And we know that all attempts actually was squashed and, basically sabotaged by the Zelensky and especially by the British, because not on their interest to do something which would stop this conflict from going on. For somebody, it's a death and destruction, but for these elites, it's basically nothing personal. It's just business. It's just money. So what is the scenario? Look, the quickest scenario when Trump administration especially really want to end this conflict very quickly, he can just, grab the phone and say to Elon Musk, hey, stop immediately providing, Starlink services to Ukrainians. That's number one. Second, call the Pentagon and give them orders not to share intelligence, which allow the Ukrainians to attack deep inside Russia. And these two main factors, which is now making Ukrainians, capable to continue the war. And then Europeans already run out of cash. For them to really fund this war, impossible with all crisis, especially now with the fuel crisis in the Middle East, with the closure of the Hormuz Strait. Despite that, Ukraine trying to propagate, we start building our own missiles, our own drones, our own everything. No, it's all basically, masquerading European production under the Ukrainian, made in Ukraine, the label. But in the core, this is a complete project of the globalists which is going on. So in this case, this would be a very clear watershed moment. If the Trump really now in the bed with the globalists, then he would never stop this war, because for him, what's going wrong? He's still selling the armaments to NATO. If NATO find the money, pay to United States, United States too far from the conflict. This is a European conflict, and let's them, deal how they're going to sort it out. But as we know perfectly well, exactly the United States is in a, kind of the assembling point of it. And if you press on this button, everything stops collapsing. This is number one. Well, if United States deciding, no, we leave status quo as it is, well, let me tell you what's going to happen. Economical crisis, which happened in Iran, first of all, distracted all resources from the, Ukraine to the Israel, right? Now, Ukrainians even offered their own anti-drones personnel to be sent to Saudi Arabia, to the Bahrain, to Qatar, to UAE, and Zelensky went in this, selling visits all over, trying to sell and offer his services. But apparently, after they tried, UAE chased them out to say, no, you get out, because your presence only makes the things worse.
And let's be clear, they also know they're selling weapons and money given to them by NATO and the U.S. and now reselling them. So let me bring up two big points for you to finish up where you see this going. I knew about this, but didn't report on it because it wasn't 100% out. It's confirmed.
Well,
go ahead.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. Ukrainians, first of all, selling quite a big chunk of all armament they're receiving on the black markets. We know that many systems and many, you know, sophisticated like anti-aircraft and anti-tank missiles ends up with the Mexican cartels. They end up with the Hamas. They flooded the black markets of Europe. So this would be a crime which will be spiked in Europe. So this is a side effect of it. But if you look, okay, what's going to be next? So with the worsening of economic situation, Europe will be bankrupt. They cannot anymore afford to fight this war. When this runs out, basically, then the Russia finally would be able to finish everything pretty quickly and establish the control, creating a buffer zone between the NATO countries and the Russia, and make sure that this kind of situation that Ukraine used as a, you know, launch pad of a future war against us will not happening. Then we have to deal what we're going to do with Britain, what we're going to do with Europe, who are now trying to really get into the war with Russia in 2 years or 3 years. And this is a serious threat. If we look on the preparation which is going on in Europe, they are frantically trying to build up their own defense complex.
And by the way, they've said they're preparing a 250,000 or 500,000 person army. You're not just saying that for Americans that have been under a rock. They've been saying for a couple of years they're gearing up for direct war with Russia.
Correct. And this is their leadership. The question is whether they are able economically to afford to do this war, because we know perfectly well any war is, first of all, economy. Can you afford it, or you just got, you know, a unproperly prepared for the war? Then you're going to suffer a very, very significant, you know, disaster if you go into this war economically unprepared, when your industry are not able to produce enough armaments, enough munition, when your medical care cannot treat all the wounds, when your system are not working to prepare everything your army needs. So this basically would be end of the Europe we know it.
And now, and we have Europe going along with the U.S. blowing up the Nord Stream pipeline that supplied a large part of its gas. That'd be like if I was starving to death, cutting my leg off to feed myself.
That's basically, yeah, it's not only auto, you know, suicide, you know, suicide when they're killing themselves, but it's also basically, you know, cannibalism, but when the cannibal eating his own flesh. Yeah, that's exactly. It's very perfect analogy. Now, coming back to the, you know, Middle East and especially Iranian situation, it's really, really becoming more and more interesting. Just what yesterday, I guess, Rubio said that the, you know, closure of Hormuz Straits, it's like, you know, using economical nuclear bomb. So think of this. If Iran lost, so how come it has now this big red button when they can press any time of economical nuclear bomb? Because the reverberation of economy we discussed with you many times would be
which the Pentagon told Trump would happen and which he ignored.
Correct. Yeah, he ignored. And now there is an issue. So plus, you know, the what was very strange that the Trump didn't want to use the last chance with Iranian to really negotiate. They start to pushing them from get-go, unacceptable by the Iranians' conditions. Iranians are very smart negotiators. You need to take them seriously. You need not to play this circus. You need to be, you know, at least consistent on what you are talking. And if you change your, you know, demands or your list of the, you know,
or if you blow them up when they come to meet, that's why this happened the last month.
Correct.
They say, we're not meeting with you. You don't deal in good faith. Then Trump goes, I'm canceling the deal. I've won, because he knows they've canceled it on him. It's like a five-year-old.
Correct, correct. It's just there. So this situation definitely creating more damage, including United States. As we speak, I just saw 1.5 hour ago, so the average price has already spiked to $4.15. You know, it's a huge, you know, increase. And now we're talking about, okay, so how far economy of United States can afford it? Well, Iranians definitely can withstand it, because even now the gas price in Iran is like, what, for the couple dollars you can fill up an entire tank. So guess what? You think this population go do the regime change just to get a regime, pro-Western regime, who gonna charge them a, you know, $4 a gallon? I don't think so. And so they definitely fail on all their objective, because the Trump, despite the opinion of the Pentagon and all other, you know, professional people who understanding what's going on, deciding, well, if Bibi Netanyahu calls me and said, hey, this is the right time, we definitely finish this conflict in 3 days, maybe maximum a week, let's go hit them, you know, leadership, people will rebel, there is would be, you know, revolution, we install our own, you know, control puppet and everything, and we grab their natural resources. So these plans are, you know, gone to nowhere. Okay, at least face the reality, be serious and admit that this was wrong and try to get a proper exit of this situation, including, you know, the situation when you can still save your face. But think of this. So many countries now suffering consequences of this economical disaster. So how many now nation will understand that the real perpetrator, the real reason of their economical hardship is actually Trump, who decided that he has a full right to attack the Iran, which will cause closure of Strait of Hormuz, which was...
And then it'll cause the energy crisis, fertilizer crisis, and then here the inflation crisis. It'll kill his economic plan, which makes BlackRock real happy, which makes the UK happy, which brings me to King Charles being here right now. But look, UAE to leave OPEC amid Hormuz oil crisis, so they're not a target anymore. Now they're talking about kicking our bases out. This is a big victory for Iran. This is a big deal. What does this mean?
Correct. Well, first of all, OPEC since long ago was a kind of the cartel who tried to keep the energy price at right. And one thing, they play a positive role, because if you create a situation where the price of oil will drop below the, you know, production cost, then the industry would be bankrupt. So it doesn't help. So the price must be fair. It must be, you know, affordable at the same time and allowing industry to prosper. So this should be a very perfect balance. So, but OPEC since long time played a very different role. And since other countries was not part of it, because Russia was not part of OPEC either. So whether they're leaving or not, look, these days, all international organizations, starting with the United Nations, starting with the World Trade Organization, become just a joke. So let's say that them leaving or staying in OPEC do not really, you know, change much of it. But
it is a message distancing themselves from Israel's war. Because I'll blame Trump for making the final decision. But at the end of the day, we should blame Trump, but we should blame Israel for lying even more.
Correct. And now Israel not only, you know, frame and set up the Trump, but it's also frame and set up UAE, because eventually they've been sharing their plans, because UAE provided necessary logistic support, provided its own soul. So the Americans, eventually Israeli, can launch, you know, their operation from the UAE against Iran. That's why Iran answer way more harder on the UAE than even on Israel, okay? This we will, of course, all the facts we will know later on. But this is, I guess, the subject the, you know, leadership of United Arab Emirates has to do their homework and figure out.
No,
you know,
I totally agree. So now that Iran's winning the war of attrition, I think that's fair to say. What are the scenarios here? Because I think Trump will still be pigheaded. The Iranians back against the wall. So the only thing they have is using the big red button of the Strait of Hormuz. Now they're saying, oh, well, 4 months they'll fall, the White House is saying, with no real evidence of that. What's a good scenario versus a bad scenario? Just like you said, yes, Trump, when he first got in a year and a half ago, did kill intelligence for a week because Zelensky was so rude to him on the phone, and you saw the lines completely collapse because it was the U.S. directing them all, as we know. Basically, they're just proxies. Since then, he cut it back a little bit to make Brzezinski behave. Brzezinski would say what he wanted to hear but go right back to what he was doing. But Trump, at a certain point, famously said, well, if I'm not getting a Nobel Peace Prize, to show really how petty the mindset is, I thought it was a joke when he said it, says, I'm not getting a Nobel Peace Prize, fine, let the war continue and we'll make money off the weapons. And I was told by a billionaire a month before, he said, you don't understand, that knows them all, stop there. Because you don't understand, Bill Gates, Bill Clinton, Trump, they're all obsessed because they're boomers with Nobel Prizes. I'd throw it in the trash can. Now, they gave Obama one, Henry Kissinger one, it's a joke. And would have Hitler give me an Iron Cross first class? I don't throw that in the trash. So, but the point is, he's obsessed with that. So he, and later, what Candace Owens said was true, because he later admitted it. Not that he called her. I know he did. He calls her up and says, Macron says he'll end the war if you stop saying his wife's a man. Now, whether that's true or not, it's a man. I don't care. The point is the pettiness. Trump now puts out through socials saying, how dare you say she's a man? She's more beautiful than you. You need to stop. Macron will work with me if you just stop. What is a president doing calling a talk show host saying they'll end the war if you just stop saying that his husband's a man or his wife's a man? And so then I got that story confirmed. And then it just happened again where we're learning that all they care about is getting attention, and everything is done just for attention and just for awards. And so to have Macron keeping a war going, whether it was true or not, saying, just do this and I'll end a war, it shows the type of leadership. Then you have Netanyahu, people behind him, obviously, BlackRock, but for him, so he doesn't go to prison, keeping it all going. It's all these insane little special interests who are not serious people and who are engaged in this. I mean, that's a long story, but that is confirmed.
Correct. You're absolutely right. You see, we have people with a huge ego who are very easily manipulated when you start talking about whether it's a Nobel Prize or size of the hands or something big and beautiful and gold-plated. So this is about Trump personality. But perfectly well, we're talking about, you know, if we just watch and hear what the Trump's saying, then we're completely confused. We need to basically analyze what he is practically doing, because majority of his saying, you know, either he forgetting himself or he flipping every time. So there is no any consistency on his kind of the, you know, plan. I'm not sure whether he has himself some strategy, at least for himself. What is a final end game? What he is playing? How he going to get out of this situation? So this all heretic behavior, it's either destruction, you know, or cover operation for something he's doing. And now let's see this visit of the king of United Kingdom, the Charles III one. It's a very funny side because, look, it's happening just after this so-called attempt which happens on this gala dinner for the White House correspondent, which is still, you know, confusing and not clear how even that can happen. And this, then why the king coming to the to see the Trump. First of all, it will feed his ego because, look, now you're talking to the royalties. Because Prime Minister of the Britain basically is a done deal. Eventually, he will force to submit his resignation, you know, in a couple days or weeks. And then the king, at least one who actually can talk to Trump as the one of the front men of the globalists. Remember that the British royal family for past at least 500 years are, you know, remaining the same. And they basically involved of everything which happened for the last 500 years. So here, it's very important for the future of America and for the Trump, how he going to deal with the globalists. Whether he
and interrupt, let's remember King Charles's uncle was Edward VIII, the literal Nazi king to set up the EU, who had to advocate... Right. In World War II, he was in Germany when it started, had to flee to Spain to get out. So these are not nice people.
No, that's not nice people. And we know that they killed their own cousins, which was the last Tsar of Russia, Nicholas II. It's the same family. They've been intermarried. You know, so they don't really care. There is nothing else. Maybe such a kind of the reptilian, I would say, sentiments they have even to each other. So now
exactly, they've bred sociopathic psychotics into the genetics.
Correct. And now we have the situation. Very soon we will understand what was, agreement between Trump and the king of the UK regarding the future. For me, the question, whether Trump will jump in a bet with the globalist completely, and now we will see that he will be fully and fully under their control, not only from the Bibi Netanyahu, he also, by this or certain other ways, in bed with the globalists, you know, because we know with you perfectly well from the studies, and you was talking about this very long, that the Zionism and the Israel is again project of the globalists, okay? Now we're seeing you have Israelis who are controlling White House on the one hand, and now we see the visit of the king. And if they would declare, you know, again, era of the unprecedented partnership, cooperation, blah, 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 we know then the Trump now in bed with the globalists completely. So what would it means for the world, or it means for the global conflicts? Well, then I would say empire is attacking, and then the resistance, who are you with everything you did for the past, you know, what, how many years InfoWars existed? What, 20 years?
27 for InfoWars, on air 32.
Yes, almost 27 years. And we are in the final days when the finally Trump, you know, flip on you and decided to give this to Onion. What kind of the, you know, thank you for all efforts, for all what you did for his first term, for the second term, you know. So, but this is the history. I guess you would survive and keep the best of InfoWars in a new platform. And people who are going to take it, they cannot do nothing with this. I guess this will burn them like the, you know, if some relics from the church will be burning hands of the Satanist. So this, you know, certain. Now, let's summarize, because we have a very short time. I guess we, again, in the very difficult times, it's almost epic. And it all depends if the people who would be forced or who would be giving orders, understanding their responsibility, that, you know, there is a still constitution, there is a still their, you know, belief in the God, and they know perfectly well what is right, what is wrong. So we're seeing that in this situation, the people has to really grab the decision in their own hands and do what they feel the right under the rules of God, not under illegal orders of these globalists. This is number one. And second one, let's hope that the sooner or later, these people run all out of the money, out of the ammunition, and Russia would be able to finish the conflict in Ukraine, you know, restrain the Europe, clean this up of the Nazism, treat them like in a hospital, you know, after this, what you call it, relapses of this disease, you know, and we will see that finally Middle East can come to the more stable, you know, region. Because think of this, if all this country cooperate, if not only Russia, America, but if we will establish really a proper, you know, very balanced relation between country, minding all nations.
We can truly have the golden age. Real Victor Boot on X. Coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors. And that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself as InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition, that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts, this is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and you're being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. This is personally one of my favorite shirts in the new line. Now here's the classic InfoWars logo on a white shirt. Never done black on white. Seems like we should have. Looks great. Got the 1776 on the shoulder. You are literally funding and supporting and wearing your uniform in the fight to defeat the globalists. InfoWars is 28 years old. America is 250. And look at the back of this clean shirt. USA 250, 1776 forever. Semi-quintennial, that means 250, baby. America's birthday with badass hats as well. And then, of course, we've got the new limited edition, America at 250 years old. And the back of these shirts are amazing Americana. And I designed this, the Betsy Ross flag with 250 on it. Get yours now, thealexhostore.com.
I'm back because I forgot one point that I want to be very clear about. This is a fundraiser. We need funds to continue on and the new operation. It's urgent. These are historic shirts. You've taken the InfoWar this far. Please take action now. For those of you who have been on the fence over bought anything, thealexhostore.com, but have shared links and things, I appreciate you. But come on, folks. We're the tip of the spear. We need you. We need your support. You're the tip of the spear. Thank you so much.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.